May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Abigail, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Maggie. I'd like to present the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. With this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay, we are going to continue on with the Holy Women of Nu, the perfect helpmeet. And if you could show my gematria, please. Now, we went over this last week, and the three numbers, the Jewish gematria was 3109, which means Yahweh revived. And we know that in all of the teachings that have been brought forward in these past several years, that the name of Yahweh has actually been restored, and mostly restored in the book of Yahweh, as the overseer has brought out. So we women, the holy women of Nu, we are part of Yahweh's work in these last days, and we are the donkeys of Yisrael Hawkins. And it is our job to continue to teach our families, and especially our daughters and our sons, that the name Yahweh is the name of our Heavenly Father, and He is not a God. And this number, 3109, Yahweh Revived, actually ties us to that revelation and the reiteration of Yahweh's name. Now, the second number is 2298, and in the Strong's, it comes out as one, first, and together. Now, this is the English gematria, and we're going to concentrate on that number today. And if you could show the Holy Women of Nu, the perfect helpmeet. Now, this 2298, it corresponds to 2297, and it means one. It's a cardinal number. And in the Hebrew, the cardinal numbers actually are used for counting. And they also, in the Hebrew, can denote both feminine and masculine forms of this word. So the 2297, it means one. It also means united. And we as the holy women of Nu are united with Yisrael in these last days. And in our teachings, we are teaching our children to be united, to be with one with Yisrael, and also with one in with Yeshua and Yahweh. And this is our commission in these last days as holy women of Nu, as we teach our children in the lamplight studies, as we sit with our children as they're sitting in the sanctuary, we're helping them to take notes so they understand the teachings that are being brought forth. Now, the other numbers that come forth, it also means the number 10, but it's only in combination. The number 10 plus another number, and that's what this means. Now, as we continue on, I had spoken last week that the number 17 is included in this combination of numbers, and we know what number 17 is. Does anybody know what number 17 is? That's one of Pastor's lot numbers. So he has three lot numbers, and that was one of the numbers that was given to him by Yahweh in a dream. Now, if we continue on, 6235, when you combine the numbers, it comes from 6237, and it's an accumulation of the extent of the digits or the numbers. And it comes from 7651 is the one number that I had focused on because it links to the primitive cardinal number 7, and that is the sacred full one. And in this number actually brings to mind the women's certification classes of the books of Yisrael. And we just finished the second chapter. And in the second chapter, the overseer actually goes into explanation of the 7 weeks, the 70 weeks, the last days in the plan, the 7-year peace plan. And if you could show the next one, which is Daniel in 9:24-7. Now, 924-7 is from the Book of Yahweh, and it's on page 681. And if you notice on the paper, I highlighted and underlined the word 70 weeks. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgressions. Also on 25, it says that, to know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Israel to Jerusalem to the Messiah, the prince will be 7 weeks, which we know is 7 years. And after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. And in 27, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And if I could have my next one. Now, I did a Ask Yisrael search for the first book of Yisrael, second book of Yisrael. And these are the results that I have of this search. And in the first book of Yisrael, chapter 2, we have the following searches. And this actually explains how we, women of old, are part of this 7-year peace plan because we are tied in unity with Yisrael. And as he brings out this 7-year peace plan and explains that this is a plan of action. It's not 7 years and then it's done. This is a plan of action. And as he has explained, in these last days, once the plan starts up again, we're going to continue for another 3.5 years, but it will be shortened. Now, the last one of that search I had done was what is concerned with the headlines in these last days. Now, it says that there will be... Can you show that again? Okay, so first book of Yisrael, chapter 2, verse 22. And he goes on to say that this you got to get. The roadmap through this thing is to divide the land. And he goes on to say that that is the last 3.5 years of it. But it also goes on to say, he says they can negotiate how they're going to put it in action and how many billions of dollars they are going to get for it, but they can't change the plan. Three articles that tie this in with this sermon. Now, this was in 2003. These are all in the past several months. Arab League pledges $100 million monthly in financial aid for the Palestinian Authority. That's $1.2 billion. Trump's $50 billion Middle East plan is a win-win for Israel and a loss for Palestine. Another $50 billion. The last article, Trump's plan for Israel and Palestine, one more step from peace. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. So since creation of mankind, there's only been two lifestyles, right? There's been the way of sin and death, and then there's been a way of righteousness and life. And according to Wikipedia, there's 4,200 religions in the world, right? And 4,199 of them only teach the way to death. And one of them, only one, is bringing the only way to true salvation. So if we remember of the words of the Savior in Matithiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he reminds us and warns us to enter in through the narrow gates. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who go that way. 4,199 religions. That is that broad and wide gate that's being offered in these last days. And there's only one straight and narrow, which is the house of Yahweh. Now, the house of Yahweh is not just another religion. The house of Yahweh is the only prophesied work with multiple congregations throughout the entire world. And many prophecies are even starting in Genesis that Yahweh shows us. Now, I want to talk about how Yahweh is backing up all these prophecies with the gematria, and he's also given us He's gone to the extremes to show us that he's with us and he's in full control. So one of the prophecies of the two witnesses, he says, Yahweh says in Isaiah chapter 48, verses 12 and 13, he's speaking both to the witness Jacob and to the witness Israel. And he says, when I summon them together, they will minister together. Speaking of the two witnesses, now this began in 1962 with the question and answer show. And then turning over to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 28, it shows that Jacob would be given to the curse. So that would leave overseer as the last day's anointed witness. So who is shepherding the Western lamp? And I put that in the Gematria. And what's so awesome is it shows the year 1962 when they both began their ministry. However, overseer is the last one, which is shepherding the Western lamp. Now, in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 7, Yahweh shows us that he says, and who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. Going down to verse 8, he says in the middle, you are my witnesses. Is there a source of power except for me? Truly, there is no other rock. So who is supposed to be foretelling these future prophecies? Now, who is foretelling Yahweh's prophecies in the last days? For the gematria for that, we have 557, and the only one that I want you to focus on is the one underlined. Now, if you'd write that down, because we're going to link that to the next gematria, which says, who was foretelling and setting it in order for Yahweh? And this number is 531, if you'd write that down. We're going to link both of these because they go back to the same word, which is numbered in the Strong's 553. Now, 553 in the Hebrew's definition, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, also find in Bible Hub, it means to confirm, be courageous, of great courage, steadfastly minded. Now, toward the middle or toward the ending, it says establish, fortify, and harden. So we're talking about Yahweh's last day's established work. And it's showing in these two gematrias, the establishment, showing that he's working through the establishment to foretell Yahweh's prophecies in the last days and who is supposed to be foretelling it and setting it in order. So I find that super awesome that it just shows that. Now, so where is Yahweh's house established? Now, the gematria for this is really interesting as well because it shows in the gematria 2088. And we all know that 2088 is going back to the man on this side and the man on that side, speaking of both the two witnesses, because the sixth work, which is the eastern lamp, was set up on the other side of the river. And then the last day's established work in the Babylonish land is set up on the left side. So fourth part of the earth is on the east side. And then the west side, or the Babylonish land, is set up on the western side. Look at your map, if I had one. I mean, I could see it in my mind. So Yahweh's house established in Abilene, Texas, is the last prophesied work. And Yahweh is proving these things in the gematria. And just backing it up, it's just so amazing that he put this in before the gematria was even made, before the scriptures were even written, before he laid the foundation of the earth. It's just mind-boggling that, and even the definitions that are found in the Strong's, it's absolutely awe-inspiring. My knees are trembling right now. How much power this being has to be able to put such precision in everything that he does. Okay. Praise Yahweh. And I want to leave you with this because I thought this was absolutely amazing. I was looking for the prophetic word that was posted on Facebook, and it's the seventh month prophetic word for 2019. And it caught my eye because it says, thy kingdom come. So I put that in the gematria, Yahweh, kingdom come. And guess what number that comes out to? Can we zoom or something? Okay. In the English Gematria, it's 1074. And for all, right? Praise Yahweh. And for those who don't already know, that is the car tag an overseer's van, which is 1074. Also, the definitions are generation, race, and firstborn, linking all the prophecies together in just this one number, 1074. May Yahweh, Yahweh bless your Sabbath. If you'd all please stand. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, please be seated. Before I get into the sermon or the speech here, I was asked to tell you what occurred this morning. So this morning I was feeling a little my mind was confused. I was like, I don't think I can do this today. I just felt like this is just too much. And so I called the overseer and I told him, I said, can you just pray? And he said some things, and then I said, can you just pray? And then he said yes. So then I was like, okay, then let me just go to work. So I was driving up on the west side here on the back of the sanctuary, and I was looking north, and if anyone was up at that time at 629 Yakanan 629, you would have seen a big white, bright-colored cloud. It's the only one in the sky over there at that point. And the overseer's face was in it. And the whole miracle about the whole thing is if anyone knows how untechnical I am, I actually got a picture of it at 629. That's a miracle. So going on now, the title is Clean and Acceptable. Yahweh, this my first gematria, says, Yahweh made his own clean and acceptable. So we see the numbers 2773 and 1818, 303. We know that 1818 is Deuteronomy 1818, where Yahweh says, I will raise up for them a prophet, and I will put my words in his mouth. And it goes directly to that Acts 3:22, which is pastor's tag number. So Yahweh made his own. Israel Hawkins belongs to Yahweh, clean and acceptable. I also put in these clean and acceptable. And you will see that's 1074, which includes us in that van with the overseer, his tag number, 1074. Now, the gematria, or the Greek 522 comes from 142 and 575, which means a separation, a departure. And when we're talking about clean and acceptable, a departure from this world, the uncleanness of this world, a separation from sin, completion, reversal. And 142 is to expiate sin or get rid of sin. And the one who does this, it says, is raises up the branch so he will be fruitful. So that he will be fruitful in cleansing and purifying a people that he's going to present as the first fruits, as 1074 represents that first fruits to Yahweh in this last generation. And it also went to the Hebrew 5374 origin. And that the first thing that shows up there is Psalm 4:6. So there's a question in there, and that's the next gematria. That I wrote it down just as it's written in that scripture. The question is, who will show us righteous ways? And if you add those three numbers up, you get 7964. Adding those numbers up singly, you get the number 26. Well, the number 26, as everyone knows, on the seat of the Talit is Yahweh's name. The Yod, He, Wah, He, the 10 wraps, the knot, the 5 wraps, the knot, the 6, and the 5. Yod, He, Wah, He, Yahweh. So it shows us that Yahweh will show us righteous ways, but Yahweh doesn't come down and do it himself. So when you go to the Hebrew for 7964, it tells you who Yahweh has sent to do this for him, to show us the righteous way. It says, something sent out to or with someone. From 7971, the sending of someone as a messenger to a particular place. So the next gematria will show you The messenger is 828, which, of course, is pastor's birth date. And the one Malak sent to a particular place comes to 322. And we're in that band. That's the tag number of pastor's other band that Yahweh gave him long ago that he has now on his band, so that we're with him in that band. Now let's go to the Hebrew 522. And that word is Amma, or mother. Who is our mother in these last days? Is it none other than the house of Yahweh is our mother? Yahweh is our father? So in the Brown Driver's Briggs, Gesenius Hebrew English Lexicon, it has the word a point of dispersion, and also means authority of a mother city. And it goes on to explain in the next slide. It shows that there's a word there, and it's called superliminaria, and that's Latin. But it also talks about how we have the authority, that foundation found in Zechariah 4:9, that Zerubbabel has laid in these last days. That's the overseer. So just as Yahweh said in Genesis that it's not right for or satisfactory that man should be alone, that we should have a woman to help him, or a helpmeet to help him. Yes, it's the way Yahweh made it, and that's the way that we will stand in our place and be that helpmate. Well, in the English, that other word in Latin is lintel, and a lintel is a support for a top of the door. In the Two Witnesses book, did we put that one up there? Yeah. In the Two Witnesses book on page 188, we're reminded that that lintel that supports that stone was on there written, Beit Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. So when we, as the mother, part of the house of Yahweh, we are the house of Yahweh, we are supporting the overseer, because on his, that mantle stone, which is the next gematria, it shows that Pastor 828 is that mantle stone that we are supporting in these last days. And let's now go on to, that one is done already now. Now let's go on to the word lintel. And that's number 194, 432, and 72, meaning stone of help. And you see right there, it goes right to 5828, which means help meet. If we are supporting the overseer, we are part of the house of Yahweh. Israel Hawkins is the house of Yahweh. And when we support him, we also are the house of Yahweh also. Meaning to bring up a manner of life, a teaching, a training, and that's where a mother comes in. Because it's not satisfactory that the children should not have a mother. They need to be led to bring forth. And it also means a stone of help. So when I put in the word Amma in the gematria, it went to build, to establish one's house, to repair and have children, to be watchful. And let's go to the next slide. And you see that one was 322. When I put the word, just the word Amma in the gematria, the next one. Do you have one just Amma? You should know. You should have one more. Well, it comes to, let's go on. But I said here, where's Amma today? And let's look at that last one, 1074. And it means to set up a banner, the chiefest, and also to look and behold. And where we are told to look and behold, just as Yeshua said in Zechariah 6:12, behold the branch. The man whose name is the branch, he is building the house of Yahweh, and we are supporting him. Let us all stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, please be seated. The title of my speech this morning is Encouragement. And I needed some encouragement one morning because, you know, we're in tough times. The adversary is trying to really discourage us in these last days. So for encouragement, I went to a book that means encourage, and that's Habakkuk. Habakkuk means encouragement. And I went to Habakkuk 2, verse 3, and I read this. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it seems slow, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. I want you to look at that. I want to keep that up for a minute, because how many of us in the work of Yahweh, you know, it's a day-to-day grind, right? It seems slow. Wait for it. Many people come and they get involved in the work of Yahweh, but you know, when you come to that grill and you're flipping that burger and it's the same looking burger every single day, and you have the same spatula and you're flipping that same burger, you're putting it on a bun that looks exactly the same every day. Or maybe you work at the office and you're answering that same telephone every day. Every day. Or maybe you're one that deals with the tithe and offerings and you see these things every day. Every day. What about the mail? It comes in every day. It's the same envelope every day. And whatever other job that you might have in the work of Yahweh, every day. But what is Yahweh trying to show us here? Because he says, wait for it. He's trying to see who's going to be patient enough to govern this universe. He needs patient saints. Remember the patience of the saints? It's so important that we're patient. It's so important that we do not leave our jobs. It's so important that this work is going to one day be the greatest thing and the most coveted thing to get into. People are going to be trying to knock on the door of Yahweh's house to get a place in this work. And if we have a place now, we need to hold on to it and be patient and wait, as Yahweh says. Wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not delay. In Habakkuk 3:2, Habakkuk, encouragement, I'll say encouragement 3, verse 2. It says, O Yahweh, I've heard your speech, and I was afraid. That word, if you look it up, it means reverent. I was in reverence of you, Yahweh. O Yahweh, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst, make it known. So in the midst of a time period, Yahweh's going to really promote and exalt this great work. How many of us have stayed in this work for a really long time? You're going to be very, very glad you did very shortly. And if you've made a mistake and you've left the work, come back. Come back. The word years, remember, Daniel 12, the time period. It's a time period. Work. There's only one work, right? Amosha 3, verse 7. Yahweh says, I'm not going to have any other work. It's not Burger King. It's not being a CEO. It's not building what big towers out in the world, Trump Towers. What is that called? It's right here. It's with a spatula. It's with a telephone. It's with the mail. It's right here doing this great work, promoting this great kingdom. This is what we're here for. How did we get here? We got here because someone opened the mail. We got here because somebody answered the phone. We have to be here when 2 billion people start calling and writing in. Though it seems slow, wait for it. Wait for it. So I have a couple of gematrias. But first I want to tell you, because remember where in Habakkuk where it says revive your work in the midst of the years? Revive. Remember that word revive. Because Webster's Dictionary, and you can please write this down. Revive means to become active or to flourish again. To become active or flourish again. So I put in the gematria, who has revived Yahweh's work in the midst of the years? And it was word number 558, 6152, and 3348. We're going to look at 558 first. And one of the other speakers already brought out this word, which is so amazing to me. 553, strength of Yahweh, strength of Yah, okay? That's 553, 558 rather, 558. And it comes from 553, which means to be alert, confirm, be courageous. Who is courageous enough to establish this great work in this time period and go up against the Pope? Who is it? Come on, you know his name. Who is it? What's his name? Israel Hawkins, there's no man on the face of this earth that is bold enough to stand up every single day. How must it be to be the overseer? You've been here how long? Maybe a year? 10 years? 20 years? Have you been here 30? Have you been here since the establishment of the house of Yahweh like our overseer has? No. So remember, if it seems slow, wait for it, because there's a man that's been doing it a lot longer than you, no matter how long you think you've been doing it. Right? Am I right? Okay. That one of those words means to establish there, 553. Establish. Remember that word establish. We've learned a lot about that. The other number in that gematria, remember, was 3348, and it means to obey, to be obedient, and that's what Yahweh's looking for. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, you can bring all your sacrifices and do all these things, go out in the world and get a big job and bring all this tithe in, but at the end of the day, what do you have if you're not obedient, right? You have nothing. Remember, nothing. It's nothing. It will come to nothing. And I put in, this is really cool. I put in, who has made Yahweh's work known? Who has made Yahweh's work known? It's word number 330, 4589, and 1980. Now I want you to look at the next one, because I put in, who has made the work known? And the answer, I put in the answer, the house of Yahweh reviving Yahweh's work. 330, 4560, and 1980. Now I want you to see in the next slide. Look at this next slide. These two words, these two gematrias, who has made Yahweh's work known, and the answer, the house of Yahweh is reviving Yahweh's work. Do you see a little similarity in those numbers? How does Yahweh do it? Now, the only difference was the middle number, okay? Let me first give you the definitions. Because 330 means, and you're going to, okay, hold on to your seat now. 330 means, in the Greek, to shoot up, sprout again, grow green again, and flourish again. Revive, remember the definition of revive? Hello, shalom, Yahweh. Number 1980, the Thayer's definition, to look upon or look after, to inspect, examine with the eyes in order to see how the person is, to visit the poor, the afflicted, the sick, to look upon, help, or benefit, to be a helpmeet, to look after, have care, and provide for. And that is exactly the job of the house of Yahweh in this time period, and that is exactly what we do for one another and for the world, right? It's a sick world. For my last slide, I want to show you the difference in those numbers. Remember when I put those two gematrias side by side? There was one number that was different, so I subtracted the one number from the other, and the difference was 29. 29 means father. That is a worshiper of Yahweh. So it shows that the house of Yahweh is the one reviving this work. Be a worshiper of Yahweh. Get and stay involved in this great work and be a helpmeet to our great overseer. And we will shine as the stars forever and ever. And if you'll all please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Okay, all you 29s, let's hear it for Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. At this time, we get to hear from the great Deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us. We have to move quickly, so let's turn over to Revelation. I'm glad one of the great queens gave you your lesson in left and right and east and west, because you're going to need it. Okay, so Revelation, let's turn to Revelation 11, page 977. I'm going to move rather quickly. I may have to come back and expound on this. Revelation 11, 977, and in verse 3 it says, "And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 1,260 days, those cast about with darkness." Okay, now let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 44, found on page 558. And in verse 1 it reads, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen." The title of this search is The Witness Jacob, and Yahweh has shown us some things about his work and even his death that is pretty amazing. And we're going to start off, I'm going to show you this. For those of you who don't know, see if I can straighten that up a little bit. That is the House of Yahweh Odessa. It's a daycare center now. And this is where the work in Odessa was going on. Pretty amazing. Those of you who have never seen it, that is it. Okay. Now there's some things about this search that we're going to go into. I have tons of stuff here. Okay. So let's begin. Get my expensive pointer here. All right. Fit it all in. All right. So right here, we have the witness Jacob. All right. Then second, get that back in place. Okay. Then second, we have right here, number two, is Odessa. Now, I want you to take note, there's some things crossing Odessa, which we will come back to. All right? Now, if we go over here, the work of the sixth Malach was to House of Yahweh established land of Israel. Okay? That was his job. House of Yahweh established in the land of Israel. Okay? That is the sixth lamp on the lampstand, not Odessa, because Odessa was not dedicated and established. The work in Israel was. Therefore, that's the sixth lamp, and that's the work of the sixth Malach, to bring the message to the Laodiceans. The Laodiceans, if you'll turn over to Revelation real quick, Revelation 3, I want to read something to you here. And notice the heading over verse 14. And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh at Laodicea. Laodicea essentially means a judgment against a people. Leo meaning a people. First the Jews, which the house of Yahweh has established in Israel first to bring the message to them, then the Christians. And then, of course, then it was established in the chief of the nations. And then Dicea means justice, the principle, a decision, or its distinction or execution, process of law, judicial hearing. Now, the Laodiceans were the ones the witness Jacob witnessed to, the sixth Malach, in the land of Israel. Now, he proclaimed and preached the message of Yahweh and the law and the prophets to the rabbis. That was his job, to the teachers. The work of the seventh Malach, the witness Yisrael, was to bring the message to the leaders. Now, he did speak to some rabbis and some spiritual teachers, but essentially he's been bringing his message to the leaders of Israel. Remember, the house of Yahweh was established and dedicated in the nation of Israel by the witness Jacob and his brother Tex. Both Hawkins, both brothers from the same womb. Now, keep that in mind because it's very important what we're going to go into, because Yahweh went to great lengths to hide pastor until certain things were in place. And you might see where I'm going with this. He never established it in the United States. In Odessa, it was never established. It was established and dedicated in Abilene, by the way, and so forth, at the homestead, by Yisrael and Jacob. The witness Yisrael witnessed to the leaders of Israel, not the rabbis. So, again, established by two brothers from the same womb, Hawkins. All right, so let's move on. Now, there's a couple of things that took place. The house of Yahweh had not been established yet when the house of Yahweh was established in Israel. And there was a work going on there. And then the witness Jacob moved back to the States after 7 years because his life was threatened. He came back and started a house of Yahweh in Odessa. But the house of Yahweh Odessa was nothing more than a decoy and a lure to protect pastor until he could be moved out here on Able Way and Abel Lean. Now, the witness Jacob died in 91, right before the Passover. They celebrated the last Passover in Abilene. Then they moved out to Pentecost. They moved out here to Abilene, on Abel Way, and some of the greatest work began with the books, the war in heaven, the teachings of Satan being cast down, confessions, the sealing of the saints. The greatest work had begun. Not that the work in Abilene wasn't great, but Yahweh had to protect his work till a certain thing was fulfilled. Let's go back to the codes. Okay, I will remind you that House of Yahweh established in the land of Israel, crossing land of Israel is threatened, and then down here connected to it, by rabbis. Threatened by rabbis, which he was, and then he moved back to the States. Okay? Now over here, over here we have sixth Malach. Then over here we have dedicated HOY with Bill, or a Bill, which is what he did. He established the House of Yahweh and dedicated it with Pastor Yisrael at the homestead. Now, here's where the things start coming up about the luring of Satan away from Pastor. And there's other clues, and once you know this, you'll start seeing it in the prophecies and in the books. And I highly recommend you go to the book Lost Faith of the Apostles and Prophets. You go to the book The Two Witnesses, and you, if you can, check it out from the South Office. It's a great video, The History of the House of Yahweh, which explains a lot about his work. Okay, let's go back to the code. Crossing Odessa, let's go over here first. Right here we have Abilene. This is Abilene. Abilene's in town. This was named Abilene by Pastor. So we have Abilene, hidden, secret, concealed, chosen, and elect. Abilene, hidden, concealed, and secret, chosen, and elect. Now over here on Odessa, we have, and Odessa's right here, we have visible decoy. Visible decoy. Now, the word decoy here is to lure someone, a person, or animal away from an intended course. Satan's course, intended course, was to stop the witness Israel, to destroy the work. And all the work that the witness Jacob was doing in Israel, and everything that he did after that, and even clues about Pastor's birth, the map, and where the two places were located, everything points to what would appear to Satan as Odessa was the seventh work. Now let's get back into it. So we have visible decoy to lure Satan away from the work of Yahweh. Now, I will remind you that Yisrael Hawkins was born on the east bank of the river. The witness Jacob was born on what would be considered the west. Okay? Eastern lamp, western lamp. Now, this is from the first printing, and Yahweh allowed this to hide the witness. This is from the first printing, 1985, of the Lost Faith. If you'll notice, 1, Smyrna, 2, Pergamos, 3, Thyatira, 4, Ephesus, 5, Sardis, 6, Philadelphia, 7, Laodicea. Laodicea. Okay? Then, after Yahweh gave the knowledge, it was corrected to what it's supposed to be, and what the headings were corrected in the book of Yahweh. Then, of course, we have 1, Smyrna, 2, Pergamos, 3, Thyatira, 4, Ephesus, 5, Sardis, 6, Laodicea, 7, Philadelphia. This was one of the many ways that Yahweh used to throw Satan off from where the real work was being established. And all the work that the witness Jacob did, you know, he was the older brother. He was doing all this work. He was reaching out to the rabbis. Would appear to Satan that that's got to be the one. Look, there's two brothers that established that they're both from the same womb. Now, another clue. And again, Pastor was born on the east bank of the river. Jacob was born in Texas, which was considered west. Now, here's a map. Okay. East, and she helped me out here. East is on your right hand. West is on your left hand. Yahweh's going to take Pastor by what hand? Okay, so another diversion. Odessa is west on the map. Abilene is east. Okay, another diversion. Let's go back to the code. Okay, so I remind you, decoy, a visible decoy, crossing Odessa. All right, let me get my notes out here. Got to move quickly. So, the work of Jacob in Odessa took a different turn at that point, and the witness Jacob became sick. Nobody knew why he was dying, but even in his name and in the prophecies and in the hidden codes and the Hebrew words show what took place. Again, we have the witness Jacob, murder and assassination, same as Sonny. Same as Sonny, connected to poisoning drug, barium. Now, when he was in the hospital, they thought he had cancer and that he had CAT scans, and what they give them is called the barium drink, and they put a minuscule amount of barium in it so it shows up in your system where the cancer is. But a gram will kill you, and it's kind of undetectable to tell what is bringing on that death. Then we have poisoning criminal. So Satan went after him, thinking he was the seventh Malak from all these other things while he was in the west part of the United States. Abilene was in the east. Well, that Bill guy, he was born on the east bank of the river, and JG was born on the west bank. Okay, there's all these clues. The lost faith in what it says, and then the correction that came after his death. There's all these clues, and even in his name, the name Jacob means supplanter. And that's exactly what Yahweh did. He supplanted Satan from finding the true work, to lead off, to circumvent, to take in another direction. And again, the luring of Satan away from the work of Israel in these last days, the work of Israel Hawkins. So you have, here you have, a visible decoy crossing Odessa, connecting to lure or decoy is Hillel from, and it crosses Abilene. Hillel from Abilene. Okay? And then one of the very last things that came up was, of course, redeemed. The witness Jacob was redeemed. And I was talking to Pastor, and of course, Texas James Hawkins, otherwise known as Tex Hawkins, established and dedicated the house of Yahweh in Israel with the witness Jacob. So I went back and looked, and the way the modern spelling of the word Tex in the Hebrew is not the same way as it's spelled in the ancient Hebrew. And the Bible code program I have showed me the correct way it should be spelled in the ancient Hebrew, because it wasn't coming up in the modern spelling. But the minute I put in the ancient spelling, it came up. But not only did it come up in a really wonderful place, it was spelled the same. And you have, remember over here, you have dedicated H-O-Y with Bill. Well, you have dedicated H-O-Y with Tex. So it shows that Tex was the one that dedicated the house of Yahweh in Israel with the witness Jacob. All right? Now, I highly encourage you to go back to the books Lost Faith and the Two Witnesses, but also the history of the house of Yahweh explains a lot and goes into great detail. And there's, even this morning, there was still lots of stuff coming up in the codes about this, so there will be more to show. But there's many proofs that show Yahweh had to protect Pastor and his work until could be moved out here to Abel Way, the protected place in the wilderness, for the greatest work to start kicking in. And Yahweh protected Pastor once again. Remember, Yisrael Hawkins was hidden. Even in his name, it says, I was hidden, or you were hidden, to rebuild the house of Yahweh. Hidden in a name. And he had to conceal him. And the greatest work of the witness Jacob was not only to establish the work of the house of Yahweh in Israel, because it had to be offered to them, the Jew first, then the Christian, of course, in the chief of the nations. But his greatest work, although he and Pastor did not know it at the time, was to lay down his life to protect the witness Israel. So the man was a wonderful man. He kept the law. He stood by the law. He stood by Pastor. He stood by Yahweh. And it's going to be a great joy to see him serving with Yisrael Hawkins, watching Pastor resurrect this great man, the two of them serving together throughout all eternity, ministering for the laws of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh, and I bet there'll be fishing involved. So with that, if you'll please stand, I have the honor and privilege to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints. Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. Can I have the title slide, please? Be turning over to Psalm 54 real quick. Psalm 54. Title of today's sermon is Yahweh Himself Will Bring Forth a Sign. 1962, 2019, the time, season of calamity. Let's look at Psalm 54 and verse 3. First of all, notice the subtitle. Behold, Yahweh is our helper. It says, for strangers, aliens in spirit have risen against us, and oppressors, persecutors seek our life. They have not set you, O Yahweh, in their presence. Behold, Yahweh is our helper. Yahweh is the one who sustains us. Remember those words, sustains, in the persecution, the aliens, the strangers that persecute the house of Yahweh. Notice the page number up at the top. You see that 454? I'm talking about Psalm 54. That's the number on that ship, that pastor that we saw in the Havana Harbor. And what we're going to do is we're going to revisit a sermon that was given back on 131 of 2015 about 1962. Let's go ahead and turn to the next slide. Now, in Isaiah 7:14 in the book of Yahweh, it says, therefore, Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Yahweh himself is 852 and 142 in Gematria. 142 means glorious, majestic, great, magnificent, honorable. Now, who would that be? Yahweh, right? And it means in 142 to raise up, lift up, from 5375, bear, exalt, shield bearer, shield carrier, sustain. We just read that in Psalm 54 there. Supported, spare. Okay? And then 852 means a sign, as always done by Yahweh. From 226, a sign, pledge, wondrous, witness, banner, signs of changes in weather and times. Now I want you to think about what's said there about the weather, because this ties into the storm we had on 6/23 that Yahweh used to bring forth the sign that Yahweh is with us, okay? Now, notice 852 in the Greek means unseen, invisible, and hidden. And I want you to think also on the weather where it says changes in weather of times. I want you to remember a sermon Pastor gave on 5/10/03 called The Clouds of Calamity. Clouds of Calamity on the first book of Israel. Okay, and remember the times changing into this last 3.5 years. Okay, this is what took place. It was announced on 6/10 at the Feast of Pentecost. The second part of Isaiah 7:14 says, and will bring forth the sign that Yahweh of hosts is with us. When you put that in Gematria, you get 6/23, which was the date of the storm. Okay, that the sign that you see right there in that picture fell down during that storm, and the men had to raise up the next day on 6/24. Let's go to the next slide. Just to remind you, this major storm on 6/23, and this story I showed you was posted at 10:15 p.m., which was significant, and tying back to a sermon on 10:15 and 10:16, 2016, regarding that other warship called the Zumwalt. We're going to tie it into something else today, but if you study that like I asked you to, First of all, you notice major storm, 623-2142. 623-2142 means remembrance. Remembrance of Yahweh. And then 1015, when you type that in, you get 624. That was the date that Pastor saw the warship in the clouds. And then 1015, 624, if you put both those together, you get 323, which was the number of the reindeer, which represents us. Remember, they're trying to destroy us. They persecute the house of Yahweh. And if you studied that, you'd figure out Captain Kirk, Catholicism, and Lucifer are all 323. And Captain Kirk is none other than Circe, where the word church comes from. Kirk, okay, Circe. The one that fed her victims to the swine, where the word church comes from. Catholicism and Lucifer are also 623. They're the ones that this ship represents, okay, that's trying to destroy this work in these last days that won't prevail. Let's go to the next slide. Now, in 624, we went over this last week. Pastor saw a warship in the clouds, and you see the two numbers there, 2142, remembrance, and then Strong's Hebrew 3050, Yahweh. And remarkably, you know, the sign, Yahweh's sign, blew down, and they had to lift it back up. That banner had to be lifted back up. Now, 624 just means storehouse, and it means to gather, assemble, bring together, to restore. Okay, and then 624 in the Greek, to completely destroy, to ruin, to perish, to pass away, to destroy fully. And I want you to remember these two gatherings that are taking place in these last days. One gathering for destruction and the other gathering into eternal life, into Yahweh's great kingdom. Okay, so remember that warship was seen on 624 the following day after that sign blew down. Let's go to the next slide. And let's see how Yahweh's with us. And Yahweh's been in control this whole time. Now the 14th book, chapter 14, verse 66, pastor says, before the enemy came up with her plot, Yahweh had already planned to take care of that plot thousands of years, millions of years in advance. You cannot beat such knowledge. You cannot fight wisdom like that. Now, Yahweh can tell you what's going to go on in 1962. He can put it, have his prophets write about it thousands of years before that, 1962. And it comes to pass in the last days, speaking of the last generation, I will establish my house. Hey, idiot. In the last days, last generation, I'll establish my house. What do you think you're sitting in now? Praise Yahweh. All right, now, if you remember, the sermon I told you was called 1962 in Zerubbabel, the one who opposes Babylon. You put that in gematria, you get the number 624. That's the day that Pastor saw the warship in the clouds, and he last Sabbath on the 25th of Noah. He said, hey, that's the ship that I saw, the one that Kohan Benjamin showed. It's the one that I saw. Okay, now, notice opposing Babylon, Eastland, Texas, 1962 in the gematria. Okay, because that's when the opposing of this Babylonish system began with him and his brother Jacob. And then if you type in October 1962, you get 2483. And when you type in only one who opposes Babylon, you get 2483. And remember, those are the establishment dates of the house of Yahweh. Remember, I will establish my house. Hey, idiot, you're sitting in it right now. And then 322, only one who opposes Babylon. Pastor's tag number, okay? Let's go to the next slide. So you put in, before the enemy came up with their plot, Yahweh had already planned to take care of that plot thousands of years, millions of years in advance, and you get these numbers. 1281, it means the serpent as fleeing, flee, drove him away, flee away, to bolt, you know, like bolt away from somewhere, to flee suddenly, chase away, drive away, flee away, put to flight, run away. The second number, 7686, means to err, to stray, to swerve, meander, to reel and roll, be intoxicated, err from drunkenness, to lead astray, mislead mentally, to wander, reel through wine. Remember, they're drunk on the teachings of the fornication that the Catholic Church is teaching them. And remember what Pastor said, the Hebrews never killed anybody, okay? They perished in their own confusion. You know, remember they thought someone was chasing them and they ran? That's one example. Then the last number, 8164, it means devil. It's rain, but it's from 8163. It means devil. And it's from 8175 to sweep or whirl away, to be horribly afraid, hurl as a storm, to take away as with a whirlwind. And Yahweh's showing you that he's in full control, and he's not letting the enemy do anything to touch us, okay? It's kind of like walking down the road, you know, dum-da-dum-dum-dum-dum, and this asteroid lands behind you, and you just keep walking. You didn't even know it was there. Like, huh. Okay? He's in that kind of control to where you don't even know what's taking place when he's saving you, okay? You don't know till afterwards. All right, let's go to this Cuban Missile Crisis. Remember the number 1015 on that article? Go to the next slide. Okay, you got it. Okay, it says, what is known as the Cuban Missile Crisis actually began on 10/15/62 when the American reconnaissance, a U-2 reconnaissance aircraft, revealed SS-4 nuclear missiles in Cuba, okay, on the island of Cuba, which is only about 90 miles south of the Keys in Florida. So when you type in SS-4 nuclear missiles in Cuba, you get a 1962. Wow. What a coincidence. Amazing. But you also get a 1463, and this is how incredible Yahweh is. He shows you who put them there. 1463 means Gog, Prince of Rosh. Rosh is the Russians. Look on your side note in Yeketzka 38:2, and you'll see the word Gog is the Russians. Wow, what an amazing coincidence. But now, we always think that it was the Russians, you know, those evil Russians that started this whole thing. No, they didn't. Let me show you it really started this whole thing. Go to the next slide. Turkey and the United States agreed to deploy 15 nuclear-tipped Jupiter missiles. See that word, Jupiter? Jupiter in 1962. Wow, didn't Jupiter become prominent in 2019 too, just right around Pentecost? Y'all remember that? They put some Jupiter missiles in Turkey at the border of Russia in 1961, prior to the Russians putting their missiles in Cuba. Type in Jupiter missiles in Cuba, 1962. Jupiter missiles, 1224, which is referring to Matthew 1224, where Yahshua was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. You know, the Lord of the heavenly habitation, Jupiter. Jupiter missiles with nuclear warheads, you get 2502. It means to arm self, to ready armed man, equipped for fight, prepare to draw off or out, rescue, deliver, pull out. And that's what occurred. They did pull them out, as you're going to see a little later. We were rescued by Yahweh and delivered from this war. Notice 2502 means Yahweh supports. No, he doesn't support their war. What he did is he supported us, okay? It wasn't time for the destruction, okay, in 1962. That's when the preaching began, the establishing began of this great work in these last days. Okay, now 3852 in the Hebrew, it means flame, flaming, head of a spear, bright, flame, glittering, a sharply polished blade or point of a weapon. But what kind of weapon? You see that Jupiter missile? See that little flowery thing that's coming out of there? That's called the lotus. That's a representative of Lilith. Lilith. And we'll go over that later on when I show you more about these missiles. Can I have my next slide? Now, how did this Cuban Missile Crisis play out? It says, The Guardian, Cuban Missile Crisis, how the U.S. played Russian roulette with nuclear war. It says, on 6 p.m. on October 26, a letter arrived from Prime Minister Khrushchev directly to President Kennedy, and Khrushchev's message was clear. He said the missiles would be removed if the U.S. promised not to invade Cuba. The next day at 10 a.m., the president again turned on a secret tape, and he read aloud a wire service report that had just been handed to him. Premier Khrushchev told, that's the premier of Russia, told President Kennedy in a message today he would withdraw offensive weapons from Cuba if the U.S. withdrew its rockets from Turkey. Now, amazingly, you know that warship that we just saw in Havana? You know why Putin said he sent it there? Because we're putting missiles in Poland and we're surrounding Russia. The exact same thing that took place in 62. Now it says the Russians tried to pretend that the outcome was yet another triumph for Moscow's peace-loving foreign policy over the warmongering imperialists, the United States, as the supremely wise, always reasonable Soviet leadership had saved the world from the threat of nuclear destruction. In other words, it was charged to their account or imputed to them that they actually stopped this thing from taking place. Now, notice this. When you put that statement in there, Premier Khrushchev told President Kennedy in a message today he would withdraw offensive weapons from Cuba if the U.S. withdrew its rockets from Turkey. You get the number 1677. First, you get 1062. You drop that zero. 10 is October. 62 is when this took place. The number 1677 means the bear. The bear. You remember what Malachi Martin said about that bear? When you start poking that bear, what does that bear do? It becomes a grizzly. Right? Pastor tells us this all the time. The bear, and it's from 1680, and it means to move gently, cause to speak. In other words, this caused him to speak in a gentle manner to try to get this thing resolved peacefully. And it was imputed to him that he was the one that actually helped stop this thing from taking place. Now, remember, Yahweh's the one that stopped this thing. Yahweh's in full control. Can I have my next slide? Okay, so October 27, 1962. I showed this back on 131.15. I showed you a video. Actually, I jumped ahead. This is also the day that both Russia and the United States, it's called the most dangerous day in human history, both of them did atmospheric tests, nuclear tests, on this day during this Cuban Missile Crisis, okay? And America's test code name was Calamity. Calamity. That was the name of their test code, of their nuclear test. And 1962, if look it, it means calamity. 1962, it means calamity. Remember the clouds of calamity, the season or the time of calamity that Yahweh held back. It wasn't time yet. Now, 1962 is only used once in Scripture in Eob 6:2, you know, like 62, okay? Look to the right there. The United States and the Soviet Union each conducted an atmospheric nuclear test on that potentially catastrophic Saturday, October 27, 1962. The American test node was Calamity. When you put that in gematria, you get 1694 means adjoining, pursued them closely, pursued hard, okay? And then notice, strong 1694 means Emmanuel. To bring forth the sign that Yahweh is with us. Yahweh is with this house and this work, okay? Now, remember, they always pursue us. I showed you that last week. They're always in pursuit, but Yahweh chases them away, okay? They get drove away. Can I have my next slide? It says, just a month after the crisis, President Kennedy terminated the quarantine when Khrushchev agreed that several weeks of tense negotiations at the UN to withdraw Soviet IL-28 nuclear bombs or the 28 nuclear bombers from Cuba. Okay, it says terminate Cuban quarantine, 1162. And it was terminated in November 62. Notice that, 1162. It says, and even after that crisis was resolved, the president continued to authorize covert sabotage in Cuba as well as plots to assassinate Castro. Indeed, an assassination plot was being discussed by intelligence operatives on the very afternoon, 13 months later, that JFK was shot and killed in Dallas, Texas. Notice, JFK assassination, 1122 in gematria. That was the day that he was killed, that he was assassinated in the Masonic Dealey Plaza over there in Dallas, Texas. Remember, 1122 means to build. Remember the Masons? John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 1934. Okay, you know, a man born for that hour. 1934, that was his name, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Can I have my next slide? On that same day, on 10-27, 1962, y'all remember the gentleman, the Russian submariner? Give me a second. It says, it was the most dangerous moment. About 5 p.m. on October 27th, a Soviet submarine, B-59, armed with a nuclear warhead, found itself trapped and being bombarded by a U.S. warship patrolling off Cuba. Remember, they were setting off depth charges, trying to bring the subs up. One of the Soviet captains gave the order to prepare to fire, but a cooler-headed officer, remember in that film I showed back 3 years ago, they said he had great self-control. He was a true submariner, okay? A cooler-headed officer, Arkhipov, persuaded him to wait for instructions from Moscow before unleashing a nuclear attack. Now, this proud man here, he said, "We're going to blast them now. We will die, but we will sink them all. We will not disgrace our Navy." The Soviet intelligence report quotes the first Soviet captain as saying before his co-officer, Arkhipov, calmed him down. Okay? Remember, he was called the man who saved the world, but it wasn't Arkhipov that did it, although he was used as an instrument. Remember, Yahweh saved us. Now, remember, and by the way, Strong's Hebrew number 454, that ship number, it's used in Azariah 10:27, that word number 454. Remember that ship. Okay, now, Azariah means Yahweh helps. That's what it means, Yahweh helps. So from the day Pastor was born to the beginning of the Cuban Missile Crisis, it was 10,275 days. So you see the number 1027 in that number. And then you see 1467 weeks, and it means pride, arrogance, extreme humiliation. Remember, he says, "We're not going to be disgraced and humiliated. We're going to do this. We're going to blast them." That was the proud man. Extreme humiliation. From the interior midst, belly they are driven. Remember, they were in a submarine. They were driven out, driven up to the top, and they were turned, and then they drove off back to Russia. Strong's Greek means to 1467 means to exercise self-control, exercise restraint, to contain, be temperate. From 1468, self-controlled and temperate. That was Arkhipov. He was the one that stayed in control and said, "No, we're not going to do this. We'll destroy the whole earth." Let's go to the next slide, please. And then there's an article, "Thank you, Vasily Arkhipov, the man who stopped nuclear war, 27 October 62, the most dangerous day in history." Remember, he was on sub B-59, and it's been brought out. 59 means able, and that number B is the name Beit, which means the house of Yahweh. Okay, so that's who was being saved at this time. When you type in submarine B-59, you get Pastor's tag 1074. But you also get 1272, and it means to bolt, chase away, flee, drive them away, drove them away, flees, put the flight, withdraw, ran away, make haste, run away. And remember, 1074 is the family, the race, the offspring, the first fruits here in Yahweh's house. Can I have my next slide? I'm going to have to leave off here with this one. Now I'm going to set you up for what's next. Dyess Air Force Base, there was a B-47 crash back in 1958, because I remember in this sermon we brought out that Abilene in the Cuban Missile Crisis was surrounded by 12 nuclear missiles, Atlas missiles. Five of them were right over here on 604. Where you drive up, that's why it's called the Atlas ICBM Highway, okay? Now, I'm not going to have time to get into this right now. I'm just going to let you know that I want you to notice that word 2022 from 1909 means superimposition. Keep that in your mind for the next time. I'm going to have to stop right there, but very amazing things are getting ready to be seen here, because Yahweh has to establish it. He has to put it in our mind. We've got to be firmly sure and set in our mind that Yahweh is in full control, and that Yahweh is the one that's protecting us, even when we don't see that he's doing it. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's been an honor and privilege to speak to the great saints of Yahweh, and I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
And as we're setting up here, please turn in your books of Yahweh, starting now with page 822. We're going to read Yochanan 6, verse 63. And then I need to explain something. It's about the research work and the word of Yahweh. Yochanan 6, verse 63. Now, in most translations, It reads like this, on page 822 in your book of Yahweh, John 6:63, if you have a Bible. The man's original name was Yochanan, and in some countries he was called Johann, and then in French he's called Jan, and so forth. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life everlasting. They're all tied up over this Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Or as one kid in Brooklyn said, the big spook. But this is what you need to know. The word spirit that is written in Yochanan 6, verse 63, is translated from the Hebrew word ruach. This word is listed on page 1287 of a Hebrew encounter lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means the word of Yahweh. So what Yochanan 6:63 is saying is, it is the word of Yahweh that gives life. The flesh is useless, including that brain of yours if you don't think Yahweh runs the show. The words that I speak to you, they are the word of Yahweh, and they are life everlasting. Remember, many of the prophets started what they were talking about by saying, they didn't say a spirit came to them. They said, the word of Yahweh came to me saying. Yekeshia said it a lot. Isaiah said it a lot. Jeremiah said it a lot. I'm sure the others did too. In many places you'll find it. But anyway, remember, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit Holy, or the Holy Ghost, remember, it is the word of Yahweh. But now go to page 832 in the book of Yahweh, and page 832, we got to have something else here. Page 832, and we'll also look at a scripture on page 833 right across. If your book of Yahweh is bound the way mine is, you can open the book and you'll have page 832 and 833, and all the scriptures we're going to talk about are on those two pages. Turn to Yochanan 14, verses 16 through 17 on page 832. Now, we know Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit Holy is the word of Yahweh. That's what Pastor has said. That's what he's taught. And we've been telling people that for however long the house of Yahweh has been going. But Yochanan 14, verses 16 through 17. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Does that mean something to put on your bed or a couch to sit on? Some must think that. But the Christians say in their books, the comforter is the Greek word paraclete. In the Roman church, that's what they call the Holy Spirit. In many places, parakletos. And then you say, oh, holy parakletos. I can't even say it right. But anyway, they say, holy paraclete, be with us. And so it goes. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. In Greek or Latin, the paraclete. That Yahweh's Spirit may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know Yahweh, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In other words, he will be right in this house among you. And that's what he's doing now. You may not see him, but he's here. It's the Sabbath. He's here to be with his people. The word another that is written in Yochanan 14:16. Now, this is a very big word. It seems like it means this one, that one, this one, this is another one. There's a hole right here. Over here we got a hole where another hole that has the microphone. And nobody thinks anything about that word. The word another that is written in Yochanan 14:16 is translated from the Hebrew word achad. This word is listed on page 17 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to unite. Or as Shaul has said, until we come to the unity of the faith. The word comforter that is written in Yochanan 14:16 is translated from the Hebrew word nacham. This word is listed on page 664 of volume 5 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew
by David Clance, which along with Psalm 119, verse 76, put that in your notes, or you can look there later and study. Letting Scripture interpret Scripture, so this word means according to your word, O Yahweh. The Comforter is the word of Yahweh. The words Yahweh Spirit that are written in Yochanan 14:16 are written in italics, which shows they've been added. These words need to be removed from this verse because they've been added. No original Hebrew manuscript or Greek translation have any words in this verse that say or mean Yahweh Spirit. Pull them out. The word Spirit that is written in Yochanan 14:17 is translated from the Hebrew word Ruach. This word is listed on page 1287 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Burst, which shows this word means the word of Yahweh. So this is what Yochanan 14, verses 16 through 17 is saying. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you the word of Yahweh. That's the Comforter, the word of Yahweh. Does anybody here complain about reading the word of Yahweh? Well, you read some of these King James versions, you hear boo, hiss, boo. You'd think you're at a football game. Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you the word of Yahweh that will unite you. It doesn't separate you. It is unity. Until we come to the unity of the faith. And that is going to be forever. Which will remain with you forever. That word is forever. If we don't want it, we don't want it if it isn't forever. I'm sorry, I was going to say, we don't want it if it is not forever. Or as the song goes, you know. And it's a great song. 17, the word of Yahweh, which is the truth. All over the psalm says, your word is the truth. Which the world cannot receive because it does not see him or believe in Yahweh, nor know him. But you know Yahweh, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In other words, he's in this house with you right now. You just don't see him, but you will. Yochanan 3, 1 and 2. But you will be teaching this word of Yahweh forever. Now look across the page on 833. This will be the last scripture. Look across the page, please, on 833. Remember, we are having trouble because people don't want to let go of these Christian ideas. And some of the others don't either. They don't want to let go of that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit, that Comforter. I guess whatever it is, you know, they don't want to let go of it. It's in their hearts. But he who trusts in his heart is a fool. But this is what it says. However, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. In other words, he's talking about to go be with Yahweh for a while. For if I do not go away, the Comforter would not come to you. I guess they're going to put it in a truck and take it home, or they're going to repossess it. But if I go, I will send Yahweh's Holy Spirit to you. And when Yahweh's Holy Spirit comes, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. About sin, because men do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the mother of this world now stands condemned. Which is what we've been doing here all these years. Is telling the people as it really is. Satan is bad news. Lucifer, Hillel, or whatever name, Mephistopheles, Elohim, Jupiter, which is Yovispater, Jove, and so forth. Okay, the word Comforter that is written in Yochanan 16:7 is translated from that same Hebrew word Nacham we talked about that was in Yochanan 14:16 and 17. This word again is listed on page 664 of volume 5 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Clansridge, along with Psalm 11:76. Letting Scripture interpret Scripture shows this word means according to your word, O Yahweh. The phrase Yahweh's Holy Spirit that is written in italics in both Yochanan 16:7 and Yochanan 16:8 is actually translated from the Hebrew pronoun ashar. This word is listed on page 52 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means he, she, or it, depending on gender. All your its in Hebrew are either male or female, but the point is it can be a thing or alive or non-living, like a bolt or a nail. So this is what Yohanan 16:7-10 is saying, and this will be the end of the scriptures for today. However, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the word of Yahweh would not come to you, but if I go, I will send it to you. And when it comes, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. About sin, because men do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the mother of this world stands condemned. And yes, if you're like me and others that study, it's comforting to see the great promises of Yahweh, and especially when you get to see them come to pass. But remember, it's the word of Yahweh. Remember, the word of Yahweh leads to life. There is life everlasting. It brings you to the salvation. It'll teach you the way to go. It'll teach you the plan. And it'll tell you what's right, what's wrong, and how you can do the right thing always in your life. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to the Kohan, great Kohan, Ilya Hawkins.
Please be seated. Into the news, we see things that Pastor brings out, and you know, sometimes the Peaceful Solution talks about things we value, and knowledge is something in the house of Yahweh that is much greater than the knowledge in the world. And when you hear it every day and you hear it from your youth or you've heard it for 20 years, it doesn't have the value sometimes that we should really have looking toward these things. But science is just now catching up, and they're saying that guess what you have in your gut? They're saying a brain. You actually have a brain in your gut. Now, they're talking about drugs. Pharmaceuticals is what they're talking about. And they tell you in this explanation, when you take these drugs, there's a whole microbe kingdom in your stomach, and they will determine what needs to be done with that drug. And they even explain side effects that take place with the drug when they say, if you take this drug, this may occur, your kidneys could fail, so forth. But it actually shows that those bugs sometimes determine this shouldn't be in the body. So they try to dump it on the kidneys, and the kidneys can't handle it. So the kidneys fail. That's a side effect. But it shows also that it helps with decision making. The things we put in our mouth actually could determine how well we're able to process decisions, control emotions. They're talking about drugs, but it's not just drugs. Remember Isaiah 7:15, where honey and butter shall you eat, so you'll know to choose righteousness. Well, then there's something there that's helping us make decisions. That's in the gut. They haven't got as far as knowing about the heart yet and decisions being made and things being done in the heart, but they're catching up. But there's enough there where we can see science is now agreeing with Yisrael Hawkins saying what you put in your mouth could determine how well you're able to make a decision, a sound decision. It goes somewhere into the earthquakes. Of course, we had another one occur last night in California. Remember what Yahshua said in Matthew 24, there would be earthquake in place after place. Now, of course, these earthquakes are taking place hundreds of days, thousands a day, but these ones in California are always prominent because they expect them, but people still go there. Think about the mentality that we know earthquakes are going to be bad, we know they're going to be really rough, and then they still occur. One interesting thing, though, when you see the destruction in these stores, and I didn't know this, I thought it was very interesting that people would do this, these stores lose all their inventory. And not only do they not have insurance, you can't get insurance. Earthquake insurance doesn't offer for content of a place. So they lose everything. So think about the economic pressure they're going to be under, and then you can go from that economic pressure to think about what people do. Because we go from there to Athens, Georgia, and this, once again, goes to show how the mind can't make sensible decisions. But don't limit it to this man you're going to see in Athens, Georgia. There's world leaders that are doing the same thing. You know, think about the things they stick in their mouths and the decisions they make. But it shows this man in Athens, Georgia, he has a knife in his hand and his goal is for the cops to shoot him and kill him. He wants to do suicide by cop. And he fulfills his desire. He actually gets shot to death and they show it. But the important part is to get, this is what occurs when the mind goes away from the teachings of Yahweh. Now, this man didn't know Yahweh, and of course, he's not being judged because he didn't know what could be done. He went off what the gods taught him. Yes, the gods, this is the way they led him. This is what the gods do. But they led him in the way. And if you listen to the police chief, at the end he said, I want people to see my police officers had no other choice. Now, the sad part about it is Yahweh's house could show them how that situation never had to take place. It never had to get to that point. But if all you want to do is look at that point, it's a very sad situation. But you have to look at the overall picture and what created that situation. And that's what Yahweh's doing. He's much deeper than the problems. He's got the solutions. From there, it goes into Damascus, Syria. Of course, Damascus, Syria being rocked again. And it shows the rockets that were shot into Damascus from Israel. And one thing noticed, this last week, a few days ago, of course, they had this celebration of the 4th of July. As they set out on their lawn chairs. They watched these lights go up, and oh, what a beautiful sight. Well, go to Syria and see these lights go up, and what these fireworks actually represent, well, people died in Syria. People were running for their lives in Syria. No, it's not a beautiful sight. I don't care what you put on the Washington lawn. It's not a beautiful sight to have military backup because it's ruled by force, and in that, people die. So keep in mind, if you go out and you see these things and they look beautiful, remind yourself that they represent the death of thousands, millions of innocent people, and that's what you see, and that's what it reminds you of, seeing these missiles that Pastor said, remember, everything hinges on Damascus. It's on Damascus right now. And then Iran coming out saying that they're not going to comply, and one of the Middle East experts saying this is going to get worse. Why is it going to get worse? Because the UK, under the direction of the United States, has seized one of Iran's oil tankers. And they said it was heading to Syria to disperse or to deliver oil, but they're holding it, saying, due to sanctions. And Iran is saying, you better release our ship. And, of course, better with what? What are you going to do? Well, they haven't said yet. Well, the United States has no intentions of letting it go because they've sanctioned them. You can't buy, sell, nor trade until you do what we tell you to do. And then Russia and China came out this last week saying that they're working toward getting away from the dollar. They're going to ditch the dollar. Within the next few months, they're looking at reducing. They're right now, they do trade at 90% U.S. dollar. They're looking at getting that down to 50% because they're wanting to use the Chinese yuan and the Russian ruble. And they're going to do it through the BRICS bank system. I mean, you'll hear Vladimir Putin say that, the BRICS banking system. And if you put that in Israel Says, you'll see where Pastor brought out. They're going to try to get around this dollar with the BRICS banking system, and it's going to lead to war. And then, of course, Vladimir Putin going to the Vatican this week to meet with the Pope himself and some other cardinals. And watch what Vladimir Putin does. Remember the peaceful solution, body language, how we conduct ourselves, what we do. Well, Vladimir Putin holds the record for the longest delay. In other words, he shows up late to every meeting with the Pope. And he had the record at 52 minutes. Well, he set a new one. He made the Pope wait for over an hour this time. Now, the Pope gave him a picture and told him, this is to go with you so you don't forget Rome. Of course, Vladimir Putin said he would put it in an important place before he left. But you can see with what Vladimir Putin's doing, he's not agreeing with many things coming forth from the Vatican. And then at the very end, of course, it shows the Russian warship that docked in Cuba. It gives a little bit of explanation about this warship and how strong that it is. And remember, a missile could reach here. It's only 90 miles away from Florida. You're talking about missiles reaching, and tactical nuclear weapons is what they're saying are on this ship. Remember who said that they were okay to use first? It was the United States saying that tactical nuclear missiles are okay. Well, they're saying 6 seconds. And then, of course, we have the PLO. I want to show you this because this is just to get your mindset. This peace treaty is still going along. Remember, everybody in the PLO said, I don't care how much money you offer. We're not going to do anything. We won't take it. Well, all of a sudden, the PLO sets conditions for renewal ties with the U.S. Money talks, and money talks really well when you're starving to death and your people are suffering. Money talks. And it's sad that this money's doing this, but these people see no alternative other than to give in. And, of course, it all hinges on Jerusalem. That's what they're saying. It hinges on Jerusalem. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Looks like we got a full house. I guess we could just have a feast, huh? Praise Yahweh. You can be seated. Yahweh's feast, Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. All the speakers have the same complaint. All the speakers are complaining. All the speakers that spoke this morning are complaining. They didn't have enough time. What? Didn't have enough time to get it in. And one of them said, Noah spoke 140 years. And I said, well, yeah, but not all in one session, surely. It seemed like some of them spoke 140 years to me this morning, you know. No, I'm kidding. The news is all on the wars that are coming, showing the time period that we're in. And that ship you saw, that Russian warship, that thing was in this direction the other day, right after, while our men was putting the banner up that says Yahweh. It had an arrow pointed coming out. I saw the arrow coming out from the ship, coming straight. and it never did stop coming. It just kept getting longer and longer and longer with the warhead on it, the arrowhead on it. And, of course, we're knowing now from the gematria, that was supposed to have been brought out this morning, but they didn't have time. We didn't have 140 years this morning. But that was supposed to have been brought out. We'll get to it next week. I won't get to mine either. So we'll pick up where we left off. You got to remember this stuff. That's the thing. That's the key. But that ship was there. The arrow was pointed straight at the sanctuary, and the men was putting the banner up, and then it obliterated. It was there one second and gone the next. And the gematria shows a bunch on this. And now it goes back to 1962 when the work of Yahweh began. That'll be, we'll take up there too the next time we speak. The Jerusalem Post says USN's waivers of Jerusalem Embassy Act after term fulfilled. Jerusalem Embassy Act 1995 have been addressed according to further presidential accordingly, no further presidential waiver of the funding restriction under the act is necessary. So we know that is over and done with. And the time activities now proceed forward. This was a surprise to me that Iran has more ballistic missiles Iran has the most ballistic missiles in the Middle East. It shows what kind and how many, what they're capable of. And, of course, Iran is threatening. He says, if war breaks out, no country will manage its scope and timing. Iran general warns the U.S. should think about the lives of its military forces before considering further military action. They're ready for war, is what they're saying. And they said if one bullet is fired, Israel has about 30 minutes to live. If one bullet is fired at Iran, they're going to strike Israel. Israel will have about 30 minutes, they're threatening, to survive. I want to read a couple more here, because you can see the hatred. Remember, Yahweh said in the time of the two witnesses, get the time period. Always get this time period when you're studying the scriptures. in the time of the two witnesses, their job that they have to do. And it's told what when that would be in the 3.5 years. That's the showdown of all of these nations, and we're in it now. Everybody's talking about the peace plan. That was brought out in 1976 in the book The Mark of the Beast. It didn't come to pass until 1993, 7-year peace plan with Rabin. It stayed in operation 3.5 years, and then Netanyahu shut it down. Bill Clinton was the one that signed it in, him and Arafat, and then later on, Netanyahu shut it down in the mist. That's between the two halves. And Yeshua said, this is the first half. It's all talking about this. All the prophets talk about this. Well, Gerard Kushner says economic plan is a precondition to Palestinian-Israeli peace. The Trump administration kicked off an economic portion of the long-awaited plan for Arab-Israeli peace. 2 Thessalonians say they're going to have peace. And when they say peace, and that's in this time period, this 3.5 year. All of this you're going to see brought about in this 3.5 years. All these prophecies, all these prophecies that the house of Yahweh has been teaching, starting in 1962 with the question and answer program. That was touched on this morning, but it really needs to be more given on that. I didn't know it at the time. J.G. didn't know it at the time. That was his name before it was changed. But he would ask me the questions, and I would answer them on this show. And it brought forth, that show brought forth a lot of people that came to the house of Yahweh in Abilene later, but they remembered it. And when the house of Yahweh was built, and then the newspapers carried us out to the people, the news media carried us out to the people, then they saw it in the newspapers, and they came to the house of Yahweh and were baptized. This started in 1962. The ships, the warship, if you got to get this, if it wasn't covered, I don't think it was, I didn't hear it, but I missed some of it anyway. But the warship, the numbers and the dates and the times, they go back to that 1962, and that involved the work of Yahweh. And of course, this was a memorial of that starting of the work of Yahweh. And they still got it in their mind, this dynasty that Satan has built. I've got to bring more on that. I've got to get you to understanding this. She has one thing in mind, and that's to destroy Yahweh's plan and bring forth her plan. Well, of course, she's already, she's got the losing vote. So she's going downhill. We see that along with the nation she wants to take with her. She wants to destroy the earth and man, and Yeshua mentioned that in his prophecies. And he said, only if she can destroy heaven and earth, that's the only thing that's going to stop Yahweh's righteousness from going out to the entire universe, taken by you, brethren. You. If you if you don't falter, if you keep improving, keep progressing, stay in the race, keep overcoming, you're going to see this very soon. You're going to be a part of it. Well, they reveal the economic plan of this peace plan, the conditioned peace plan. Now, at the same time, the Pentagon is planning for war with China and Russia to handle both of them. Of course, they know they can't, and this is the problem right now. This is the fear. It will build up. This is slowly going to build with incident after incident, and then someone's going to take too big a bite and out of the land, and then they're going to see that. If you notice the Vatican, the Pope was visiting with Putin. The 10 kings, I know you remember the prophecies of the 10 kings and how they will turn on the Vatican and burn her with fire. Well, they're going to be the result. That's the nations. That's the 10 nations there that where they're given a kingship for 1 hour with the beast. That's the authority to speak for the beast. They may not understand this right now, but I need to bring it out also that these 10 kings are going to be used to speak as the dragon, but they're going to give their power. They're going to give their power to this system that will not do what they think it's going to do. They're thinking they're going to have control over those nations, whereas they're going to be under the Vatican, just like all the rest of the world is. They're going to be under it, and once they realize what's taking place, this is where they're going to revolt. This is going to bring other actions among the nations, and they're going to start fighting back, and then eventually it's going to wind up in the one-hour burning. U.S. take note, China and Russia military are closer than you think. They're going to join together, of course, and Iran will join them, of course. They wouldn't. They will pull Iran and many other countries in that don't like the United States. War between the U.S. and China, unconceivable. Just a decade ago, is now a regular topic of analysts and conversations. What could be even worse than a Chinese attack? A stimulationist Russia assault in Europe, or top of a Chinese attack, in the worst case, the United States just isn't ready to fight Russia and China in a two-front struggle. They never will be ready. This is the problem, see. They had it under their control, just like the Roman Empire had it under its control at one time. And Daniel told them it's like mixing iron with clay. It won't hold together. Well, that's what they got. And the bickering, the fighting, the little wars and fighting. Now, these are all religions. Yeshua said nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That is actually religion against religion. Nation against nation, kingdom religion against religion. These are the ones that's promoting, but they're also lusting after and saying, we want you to take this. Well, this is what, of course, Trump is facing today. We're facing 4,199 religions all fighting against each other. They all got different ideas and worshiping different gods. Your gods are more than your cities, Yahweh said. And, of course, this is what Constantine, if you remember, Constantine was trying to get a god, pick a god, and make force everybody to worship that god. This is when the empire was strong. It was strong, but it was like iron mixed with clay. It couldn't hold together in this manner. And he picked these two gods. He picked two. He thought he was picking one, but they said he picked two, which turns out Jesus Christ. So what you see in Revelation 13 now, remember, is what Constantine added when he was trying to get a god for the whole world. And they were over the whole known, settled world at that time. They had control of it. That is forceful control. But forceful control never works. So these religions, he picked them this second religion, and that was already in motion, and this is the system. I keep wanting to use the word dynasty because that's what Satan is setting up. That's what she started to begin with in Egypt. Well, that's the only word I know to use. You can look it up and see. But anyway, she's building. That's what she's building. They translated kingdom, the empire. Satan is very strong. She had a very strong following. If you could imagine the universe and a third of the beings in the universe was on her side. And still are. They're still on her side. They may be voting more or less for and against, but she lost the vote, of course, and she was cast down. And she was limited now to the United States to finish showing her hand. She's not over yet. And the courts have given her time to prove in the United States or with the world, the earth, to prove that she can bring peace through force. Now, that's what she set up. This is a dynasty that she set up under Nimrod, first under Cain, first under Cain, and then after the flood, then she quickly set it up in Egypt again and started the ball to rolling that we'll get into in detail. The scripture shows all of this. Well, Trump says no preconditions to talk with Iran. They're getting where they can't talk, and he warns war would lead to obliteration. And that's exactly what I saw in that ship, the warship that was parked. It was a cloud, a black cloud. I would that somebody had gotten a picture of it. I didn't. I was stunned when I saw it. It was perfect, a perfect warship, just like you saw on the news there today. I quickly called our Gematrix team and got them to working on it. And lo and behold, it displays everything. Yahweh does. Yahweh shows you. There's no wisdom like that of Yahweh. Well, anyway, he said it's going to lead to obliteration. The Signs of the time, the weather has absolutely grown crazy. It's breaking all records. I'm going to read you some of these again and more of them. Washington Reuters. I want one more here. Yes, Kushner reveals economic part of deal of the century, the deal of the century. For 1 million jobs, they're giving money for 1 million jobs. And, of course, Netanyahu is saying any deal has got to be with the presence of Israel. Israel holding a forceful hand. It can't be without that. So you can see that brings it back to the force again that Satan set up to begin with Cain. Force. He killed Abel to get his enemy out of the way, and then he continued to bring the violence. If war breaks out, no country will manage its scope and timing, he says. This points us to Revelation 13 now. And you're just going to have to remember, I'm going to give you a little of this, but you're going to have to remember where we leave off. What do I want to show you first? It's difficult. Exercise all authority. We see a group of people here. And this comes out in the Jerusalem Post. Trilateral Jerusalem Summit. This is a trilateral Jerusalem Summit. Russia sides with Iran against Israel. Now, this word, it makes me think of this word in Revelation 13. Let's go to that, Revelation 13, where it's talking about this two-horned beast that was already set up. I mean, the two-horned beast with the gods that they worship was already set up. It was just being put together, and that's what Satan is doing now, as Yahweh gave her hand in order to show what sin would bring. And she's putting together this dynasty that she hopes can take over or rise up equal with Yahweh's throne. Here in Revelation 13 and verse 11 says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. If you'll mark out that word, but, they've added the word but, and it totally changes the meaning here. If anything, you could put who or something like that. He had two horns who spoke as the dragon. This word spoke here, it actually means to preach. If you look up the word, it means to teach. So there's a religion behind this, and that's what these two horns are. They're religion. The nations, nation against nation, religion against religion. Well, this religion here, these two religions that was set up and they divided America when it was taken over, see? These two religions, Protestant and Catholic, they were already set up in Europe, and of course, they were both the same, worshiping the same gods. The only thing The Christians took a different approach and said, we're worshiping one God. And then, of course, they said it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And, of course, I had David bring this out this morning because there's so much confusion in the book 2 of the Holy Ghost that the Christianity is so confused. They say, well, we're worshiping one God, and they're worshiping three. And then Constantine says, well, we're going to worship this one God, and he gives them two. So you can see all the confusion taking place and why the people actually called him an idiot that was running the country under the authority of the dragon, as is shown in the first few verses. But that word spoke here, and speak. He spoke. If you take out the word but that's been added, they had a two-horned beast like a lamb teaching like or as. You got the same wording in Genesis 3 and verse 5. As the gods. Evil as the gods. This two-horned beast here spoke as the, it should be the dragon. The dragon. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. The dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, Revelations 12:9. Well, you have the same thing there in verse 2 now, verse 2 of Revelations 13. And the beast which I saw was similar to a leopard and the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, or the lion. Each one of these is speaking. This lion, of course, is Yada, as you find back in Genesis 49:10, 6 through 10. The lion, a mouth as the mouth of the lion, the mouth of the lion, Yada holds a scepter, giving laws, teaching the laws. Teaching their tradition as laws, not teaching Yahweh's righteousness. And the dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, deceives the whole world and gave him power and his throne, his seat, and great authority. It gave him this religion they call throne here. It gave him this throne, which we'll get into it in the next time I speak, I think. But it all started in Egypt. Well, back to verse 12 now there. And he exercised all the authority. Exercised. I have something. Exercised. That word exercised, here it is. Word exercise. It actually means, it means to, listen closely, active use or operation. That's number one. Performance of duties. Sets in line the performance of duties. This is a big kingdom, brother. You can't imagine how large it is, the kingdom we're going to take over. Yahweh's kingdom, as Yahshua described it, is that as a small seed like that turns into the biggest tree in the world, That's religion. The tree, two trees, started it. Yahweh set it up in the beginning. This tree turns into the biggest tree in the world. It's the smallest to begin with and goes so for 6,000 years. But it's going to turn into the biggest tree there is, taking over the entire universe, not by force, but by teaching and volunteer to go Yahweh's way. Now, he's proven what the other way is doing right now here on earth, and now Satan's power is limited to earth, see? She's limited to the earth, so her activities that she can bring forth to try to prove her hand, you know, are almost gone already. We got all the nations that just, as Yahweh said, bickering and fighting. Yeshua said it. He said, nation against nation, religion against religion. It's all over the world. So the Pope is saying we need to resurrect the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire ruled for a little while, but that was it. And then it crumbled, fell to pieces. And now it's run by a quartet that took it over, and it's still in operation, but the quartets are having trouble. Each one of the quartet is having trouble in its nation, and it's having trouble then throughout the world with other nations. Every one of the quartet members. It means, this word exercise means performance of duties. See, this is this dynasty that I say they're setting up, that Satan is setting up. A program of speeches. That's what we're doing here at the house of Yahweh. With speeches, we're showing Yahweh's righteousness and his kingdom, which will be done in unity. It will bring forth unity among everyone, every living being. And that's the difference in it and Satan. To bring forth speeches, to carry out duties, perform, to exact influence, to engage so as to worry, harass, and so forth. To exercise influence, to engage so as to worry, harass, or influence. Well, that's what they got right here, and that's what we're seeing among the nations and the dealers in food commodities or every commodity. That's what we're seeing right here. Well, this is a trilateral commission now, summit. Russia sides with Iran against Israel and against the U.S. Russia's top national security advisor spoke out on behalf of Iran during trilateral meeting with his Israeli and American counterparts in Jerusalem on Tuesday, backing Tehran's claim against the United States, and this is quartet member against quartet member, and supporting its ongoing military presence in Syria. This is Russia. Supporting its ongoing military presence in Syria, which they want to give to Israel. They want to give this land of Syria to Israel, and then have a huge nation of Israelites there, which will be our ally in that part of the world. That's the plans, long-range plans. Well, there's no assurance, as the scripture says, in allies. They differ. And when they get the upper hand, they force it, which Israel sees as a threat to its security. Russia as a threat. the Trilateral Conference of Israel, Russian, and U.S., and the U.S., Revelation 13 now, the two-horned beast, National Security Advisor, was the first event in its kind to be held in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem now. Remember, the outer court now, leave out, it's given to the nations. Given to the nations. And they're going to trample it underfoot for 3.5 years. They're going to have their way in Israel. And they got big plans for Israel. Well, Russia's got plans for Israel, too. So does China. Iran has got some for Israel also. And of course, they're all fighting against each other. The nations here are. And that's exactly what Yeshua said they would be doing in this time period. The wars, the nuclear wars, the nuclear burning. Now, we're going to see a third. That prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. The third of the people over that fourth part of the earth. That's not fulfilled yet. And not even close. But it will be fulfilled. And it still won't stop there, Yahweh says. After that third of the people are killed, then they will continue in their bickering and fighting. But the next one after that will be the 1 hour burning that will get rid of all sinners. All sinners. Leaving them neither root nor branch. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!